Another push for conscience protection.
For doctors who are committed to the lives of their patients, it's practically impossible to be able to contemplate being a cause of the death of their patient. They've just seen too many patients who want to die, be treated, have a meaningful quality of life afterwards, and they just cannot bring themselves to be the ones to close the book on a patient's life.
On the feature today, Larry Worthen from the Christian Medical and Dental Society on his appearance before a committee of the Ontario Legislature last week. In the news, more heated discussion over parental rights in Alberta's education system, a push for better regulation surrounding doctor-assisted suicide. ARPA launches a social media campaign defending parental rights in child discipline. Life issues hit the federal conservative leadership campaign. And a look at genetic discrimination and what it really means.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
It's only been a couple of weeks since Jason Kenney was selected as leader of Alberta's PC party, and already the debate over parental rights in that province has heated up. Kenney had a meeting with the editorial board at the Calgary Sun last week, a meeting in which he made the case that the government's current policy on so-called gay-straight alliance clubs might need to be revisited. Specifically, Kenney objected to the notion that schools are not supposed to communicate with parents if children are expressing same-sex attractions or gender dysphoria, that this information was to be considered confidential. Here's what he said, and I'm quoting from a transcript of that editorial board meeting. Quote, "I think that parents have a right to know what's going on with their kids in the schools, unless the parents are abusive, in which case there are protocols to deal with bad parents. I don't think it's right to keep secrets from parents about challenges their kids are going through. The education system should be predicated on the presumption that the vast majority of parents are good, loving, caring people who have the best interests of their children at heart." End of quote. Within 24 hours, Alberta's education minister, David Agan, was calling out Mr. Kenney's position on the issue as being, quote, extreme.
You know, again, Jason Kenney shows himself to be quite extreme once you scratch the surface. And, you know, like I say, it's a big step back for creating a more safe and caring environment for students across the province.
Reaction from the other side has been swift. Donna Trimble, with the group Parents for Choice in Education, says she feels like she's living in a Monty Python skit.
The government of Alberta paid for and continues to recommend the Alberta GSA network to children that gave them access to sexually graphic material. And yet Kenney, who wants parents to simply know that their children are receiving this care in schools, is called the extremist.
ARPA education consultant Harry Mose has also been watching this situation.
For almost all programs in a public or independent school, parental permission is required. Being a member of your school basketball team, you could be a member of your school band when you're going on an excursion. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Parents always need to be informed about the activities in which their children are involved. So I do believe that Jason speaks the language of the majority of the citizens of Alberta. I think it resonates with the rank and file of Albertans.
While Kenney has indicated he's not prepared to scrap Bill 10 altogether, Moe says the hope is there might be some room for specific amendments on the issue of parental rights. ARPA is launching a campaign for better reporting and regulations around doctor-assisted suicide. Bill C-14, which legalized the practice last year, clearly envisions that it will include some regulation, but the way the bill is worded is a bit unusual. It says the health minister, quote, must make regulations that he or she considers necessary on the issue. The bill says those rules are supposed to take effect by this June. ARPA lawyer John Sycamore says the notion that the minister can decide whether or not the regulations are considered necessary is a very unusual way to write the law.
I did some research just to look for that phrasing or something close to that phrasing in other statutes, and you don't find it. I didn't catch this particular formulation at the time and how odd that is. And we have to kind of wait till June to see if the minister does consider it necessary, which I think is a problem.
Sycamore says ARPA is launching an easy mail campaign on this.
We're asking people to remind their MP, that the court, when it legalized assisted suicide, said in response to some concerns that, you know, abuse happens when you allow people to be intentionally killed, that, well, if you have a suicidally monitored system, we can minimize those risks. The problem is scrupulous monitoring is not going on. No monitoring is going on. So to remind MPs that this is important, the court recognized that.
There's a link to this issue up from the Lighthouse News homepage, including some suggested drafts of letters to members of Parliament. Ontario, incidentally, is also writing regulations on this. We'll have more on that part of the story later on this week's feature interview. Life issues have hit the radar in the federal Conservative Party leadership race again, this time from an unusual source. Candidate Rick Peterson, who's clearly identified himself as pro-choice, sent out an email last week expressly courting pro-life voters. We need a law's Mike Shuten.
I think what was most surprising was that he said, and I'll just quote it directly out of his email, he said, "In line with the party platform, I will support and prioritize comprehensive legislation making it criminal to use abortion as a means to discriminate against female fetuses," end quote. Now, I think what's so encouraging for all the people who have been working across the country to advance preborn human rights is that his policy solution is a direct result of the work that we did in 2013 to ensure that the Conservative Party had this as part of their platform, that they condemned sex-selective abortion. And what we're seeing now is a fruit of that coming from unlikely sources, someone in the form of Rick Peterson, who is avowedly pro-choice.
Putin isn't sure whether Peterson's email will garner him more support among social conservatives, but he says it does show that they're being taken seriously.
There is only one other candidate who has spoken specifically to the issue of sex-selective abortion, and that's Pierre Lemieux. Also interesting to note is that, according to the pro-life group Right Now, who's done a very fantastic job of putting together a suggested ranking of candidates based on their pro-life views, they don't even rank Rick Peterson. He doesn't even make their top 10.
The deadline for membership sales in the leadership race was last week. Bill S-206 continues to make its way through the Senate. This is the bill that would take Section 43 out of the criminal code and essentially make it a crime to spank or physically restrain your children. ARPA grassroots manager Colin Postma.
Without Section 43, the criminal code prohibitions on assault would apply when you spank or even just restraining your child. So without Section 43, anytime you touch your child without their consent, it's assault, whether you're restraining them or you put them in their room for a timeout, even things like that. So if S-206 passes, it makes loving parents out to be criminals.
So how can this bill be opposed? Postma says senators need to be made to understand that this is not about child abuse, that there's already strict laws in place covering that.
This bill is really about an ideological approach to parenting that's being forced on all parents and children. And so we need to work together to stop that bill. So we've launched this new campaign called Not a Criminal. And basically, we're just asking people to make a short video statement that's 30 seconds or less that basically says you're a parent, that you love your children, that Bill S-206 would make you a criminal, and that it needs to be stopped.
When you've got the video done, you can post it online to various social media platforms with the hashtags Not a Criminal, Loving Parent, and Stop S-206. He says the videos won't be compiled into a single unit or sent to senators or MPs. The hope is the campaign will simply get noticed by the Senate before the issue is voted on. More details on the campaign on a link from the Lighthouse News homepage. And finally, you may have heard about something unusual that happened in the House of Commons last month. More than 100 Liberal MPs defied their leader, Justin Trudeau, and voted in favor of Bill S-201. That's a law that originated in the Senate. It would disallow what's called genetic profiling. ARPA's Director of Law and Policy, Andre Shuten.
The Genetic Non-Discrimination Act makes it illegal for any insurance company or employer to insist on genetic test or to force someone who has had a genetic test to make those available to the insurance company or to the employer. So basically, a life insurance policy or a health policy or an employment contract cannot be jeopardized by someone having knowledge of their own genetic testing, which may or may not contain information that would jeopardize their life or their health or their employment.
To be clear, that bill passed against the will of the Prime Minister. Botshutin says the entire episode is rife with irony when you look at it in the broader context.
The talking point was that people ought not to be discriminated against based on their genetic information, which in a sense I agree with, but right in front of our eyes, there is a much greater form of genetic discrimination. It's in fact a lethal form of genetic discrimination, and that is for people with Down syndrome. People with Down syndrome are being discriminated against in a brutal and lethal way. They're being eliminated through abortion. So that means Down syndrome babies are being killed in the womb when parents and doctors know that that child has Down syndrome. And Down syndrome is a genetic condition. And so for all the good that that bill did, it completely misses this glaring form of genetic discrimination happening right here in this country. In fact, it's subsidized by the very government that is touting and patting itself on the back for being such, you know, human rights warriors for ending genetic discrimination in Canada, and I'm calling them out on it.
Andre's written a blog piece on the issue. It's up at the ARPA website. Back with more after this.
9 months ago, Canada's parliament officially legalized assisted suicide, yet there remains no oversight or regulation. Some medical practitioners are killing their patients without any reporting mechanism or checks and balances in place. Vulnerable people will be victimized by a system that permits deliberately ending the lives of the severely sick or disabled. Please send an easy mail to your MP, and for those in Ontario, MPP, to remind them of the necessity to scrupulously monitor euthanasia as a minimum requirement to protect innocent life. See arpacanada.ca/bill84 for more.
And we're back on the program. The issue of conscience protection for healthcare workers, specifically in the context of doctor-assisted suicide, came up at Queen's Park in Toronto last week. The Standing Committee on Finance and Economic Affairs listened to some testimony on the issue. The committee is considering Bill 84, which deals in some measure with regulations surrounding medical assistance in dying. One of the people who spoke there was Larry Worthen from the Christian Medical and Dental Society. I've reached Larry in the cafeteria at Queen's Park in Toronto. Larry, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Al. It's a pleasure to be with you.
First of all, what's the status of conscience protection in Ontario? What's the broader context here in which the committee was holding its hearings?
Well, of course, we have constitutional protections out of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, but unfortunately, the College of Physicians and Surgeons in Ontario has a policy requiring effective referral for controversial services like medical aid in dying and abortion.
I read through some of the literature and the history on this. Is it true that Canada is the only jurisdiction in the world that wants to compel physicians to do the referrals for things like MAID?
That's absolutely right. No other jurisdiction that allows medical assistance in dying requires physicians to make an effective referral.
So what was the gist of your presentation to the committee?
Well, essentially, I tried to explain that for doctors who are committed to the lives of their patients, it's practically, well, it is impossible for them to be able to contemplate being a cause of the death of their patient. They've just seen too many patients who want to die, be treated, have a meaningful quality of life afterwards, and they just cannot bring themselves to be the ones to close the book on a patient's life.
So is there a constitutional issue at play here in terms of the whole freedom of conscience piece? I mean, ultimately, is this going to end up in court on that basis?
We're already in court. Five physicians in Ontario, as well as three physicians' organizations, have challenged the college policy on the grounds that it is not constitutional, that it breaches Section 2 of the Charter, which protects freedom of conscience and religion.
So in the specific context of Bill 84, any idea how the government's going to respond? The issue of conscience protections isn't actually covered in the legislation, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of interest in putting it there. One person who's been following this has told me that, quote, conscience protections are simply beyond the scope of Bill 84 because the bill doesn't actually require physicians to participate. Any thoughts on that?
Well, because we've got this threat from the College of Physicians and Surgeons, we feel that this is the only place for this legislation. We need protection from this college, and it's up to the legislature of Ontario to provide that protection. The legislation, by the way, protects doctors who are going to provide medical assistance in dying. Why should it not also protect doctors who have conscientious objections to this?
Any idea in terms of process where it goes from here? What happens when the committee finishes the study? Will Bill 84 be law by summer? Any chance of any amendments? What's your read on it?
Right now, it's hard to say. We know that there will be an amendment coming from the Conservatives. The NDP seemed very sensitive to this issue. It's really the Liberal government that we're concerned about. They just seem to be not open to providing us with the support that we're looking for. The final decision will be made by the committee on April the 11th.
Sir, we'll keep following this. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by going to our homepage, www.lighthousenews.ca, and clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email, lighthousenews@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.